Gancos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that website at ussliberty.org. And what I think is of particular importance today is the PDF file and the HTML file that you can access entitled War Crimes Committed Against U.S. Military Personnel. This is something that has been filed as of June the 8th, 2005, to the Secretary of the Army in his capacity as the executive agent for the Secretary of Defense. If you read through this document, folks, you will see just what a pack of lies we have been fed by people like Jay Kristol, who has written this fraudulent book entitled The Liberty Incident. We will also discover, of course, that the official Israeli story as to what happened is also a complete fabrication, and that the U.S. government has been complicit in all of this up to this point, beyond a shadow of a doubt. This needs to be rectified, and we can begin that process by distributing this report to our friends online and demanding of our individual congressmen and women that they do something. That they do something in regard to this. And this is a priority item, I think, for the listeners to RBN, much as our support of the truck out protest is very, very key to your economic and political survivability and mine in the days that remain, in what may be the last days of the American Republic, folks, if things are not turned around very, very quickly. Gary, back to our conversation. We were talking about the Moorer Commission.
Yes,
and a series of things related to its findings. I'd like to divert from that just for a second. This guy, Jay Kristol, I read in William Hughes' very fine article on Jay Kristol.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hughes is from Maryland.
Yes, and I posted that article and several things I've written about the Liberty, and it's been posted with Breaking All the Rules News, among other places. Hughes points out that Jay Kristol made an appearance at the National Security Agency's Cryptological Museum, which I used to drive by all the time between Philadelphia and Washington, and that he held an autograph signing party there at the NSA's Cryptological Museum that is a very, very wonderful place for people to visit. Point of clarification, did the National Security Agency's Cryptological Museum sponsor this Kristol appearance, do you know?
I really don't know, but I for some reason doubt it. I think that was probably arranged. And I have to add to that that we had a crewman there that challenged him that day.
Yes.
As far as that goes. May I do something, if you don't mind, in regard to Moore and Kristol? Now, this is something that I just found out this last Saturday, or a week ago Saturday. I didn't know about this. You know, in January of 2004, the State Department, under Mark Susser, they had a panel about the Liberty. Kristol was one of the participants. Well, in January of 2004, Admiral Thomas Moore was ill. He died in March, just shortly thereafter, this garbage that they had at the State Department. Well, during this taped interview, when it come Kristol's time to get up and speak, and it always made me so very mad what the man said, but I didn't know the rest of the story, and I'm fixing to tell it right now.
Sure.
Jay Kristol, he's standing at the podium, he looks over the top of his glasses, and he looks out at this audience of a couple of hundred people, and he says, well, I see that Admiral Moore's not here this morning. And that always made me mad.
Hold on to that thought, Gary. I want to draw you out a little bit on that point. This is Mark Gancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that site at ussliberty.org. Take a look at the War Crimes Committed Against U.S. Military Personnel document. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that website at www.ussliberty.org and turn to this new posting that's on the top of that front main page entitled War Crimes Committed Against U.S. Military Personnel. It is quite a document, and the findings of the Maurer Commission and those who comprised the Maurer Commission is absolutely pivotal in having any real grasp of just what an outrage it is that we're talking about. Gary, you were speaking before the break about...
I'm going to get back to Maurer, but I'm going to interject something before I get back on Maurer. And the fact being that there's been thousands of copies of that war crimes report downloaded. But to get back to Maurer, on the morning that the State Department under Mark Susser had the panel in regard to the USS Liberty. See, Crystal knew that Maurer was in ill health. Well, a dear friend of our organization and Admiral Maurer, they decided that they would kind of concoct a story. Crystal thought that Admiral Maurer would be there that morning, and he was very nervous about this. They had went so far as to get a parking pass for an underground parking lot under the State Department And, you know, they were going to bring him up in the elevator. Well, Crystal, looking over his glasses that morning, looking around, he was trying to see where Moore was sitting because he knew that Moore would nail his butt, although Moore was not physically able to be there. And, of course, I find that quite hilarious. I was unaware that this even happened till a week ago Saturday. The man that put this together and did it told me about it. He said, and we didn't notify State until 5 minutes before the event started that Moore would not be able to be there due to ill health. But he was somebody that Crystal certainly did not want to see. But fortunately, we had Jim Bamford, the writer, well-known security analyst there in Washington. He's a well-known individual. He has three books, The Puzzle Palace, Body of Secrets, and Pretext to War. Jim Bamford read the Boston affidavit, and he read that after Crystal got through with his 15-minute diatribe, which to me kind of neutered Crystal a bit, you might say. I want to back up and say something that relates to us in a sense of the word. You know, you were talking a while ago about the Internet and the censorship there. You remember the hubbub started a few weeks back from the radio shock jock, you might call him, on MSNBC, Don Imus.
Yes.
You remember what happened to him?
Yes.
His remark was an uncalled-for remark. And I watched Imus every morning, and he didn't cut anybody any slack. But about 2 months ago, Imus made a remark. He said something to the effect, when it gets up to the Jew level, it gets killed. And I thought to myself, I cannot believe this guy actually said this. I think that his remark that cost him his job was not what he said about the ladies' basketball team from Rutgers, but I think the fact that he is already sticking a stick in the control media's eye. That doesn't really it relates to us in an odd sort of way, I guess you might say.
Well, that's fascinating, Gary, because I don't listen, was not listening to Don Imus. I would just occasionally read these media reports about him. But your take on this is fascinating because essentially what it suggests is that the earlier remark is what signed Imus's professional death.
He had unsealed his fate with his earlier remarks because he hammered on everybody, and he especially hammered on George W. and Dick Cheney. He hammered on them with a passion, and then he makes that remark, and I'm not the only crewman that heard it. Fellow crewman Lloyd Painter and I have talked about it. He and his wife heard it that morning, and I thought, oh, hell, I can't believe this guy said that. And I think that I think they were sitting waiting on a reason to can him. What he said was reprehensible. He should not have said it. We've all said things we shouldn't say. We've all done things we shouldn't have done, probably. But, you know, you try and make amends to folks. And if it's not something too egregious, hopefully a sincere apology or reparations, whatever the case may be, will be good. In Imus's case, he was gone. It didn't make any difference. He was just gone.
And presumably the public reason for getting rid of him in terms of these uncalled-for remarks about the Rutgers ladies basketball team would cause people not to connect the dots,
right,
in terms of what, well, may have been the real source of his problem.
Well, he had made light of Abrams, a young, slick-looking guy that's in charge of NBC, MSNBC. Well, the other day, one of the head people there, and I can't recall his name, and I apologize for that, he was talking about that, you know, we had to get rid of Don Imus because he was racially prejudiced against the blacks and the Mexicans, and talked quite some time, and then he threw in the word he was also anti-Semitic, he was against the Jews. And I thought, bingo, here we go. I think his dismissal was waiting for him to do something to get rid of him. It goes back to control of media, and you get up to a given point and everything gets killed. It's like the Liberty story. we can get up to a given point, and then our story always gets killed. Nightline done has on two different occasions done 10, 12 hours worth of video work interviewing crewmen, but it never got on Nightline. CNN, they've done hours of work on us. It never gets published. It, you know, some of the people lower down in the organizations will try and help, but then it gets up to a given level and it gets killed. When our war crimes report came out, I had a young man from ABC call me. He wanted an exclusive on our war crimes report. We're going to make big news of this. I mean, he was hot to trot. And I told him, hey, we can work something out. I said, I may want a few things myself, our group. Boy, when it got up to that given level in the media, he disappeared. I'm still waiting on him to call me back 2 years later.
Yes, and what this again says about the character of American corporate media and what it says about the character of the American government, presumably working in tandem with that corporate media, is absolutely chilling because, as I've said before, Gary, when you start drawing a series of lines that connect the dots, events like Pearl Harbor, the Kennedy assassination, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, the USS Liberty tragedy, 9/11, the list goes on and on. There is such a disconnect between the spin that was put on those events and what is often the historical truth that actually surrounds those things.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me interject something, and I'm going to interject something that my wife said the other night. We're sitting watching television, the tragedy at Virginia Tech, and my heart goes out to all them people. That was just such a horrible thing that happened up there. I'm a parent. I have grown daughters. I'd hate to see something happen to one of my children. When they were in college, seeking to have a higher education, raise themselves to a little higher degree, let's say. And my wife, she looked at me after we had watched a bit of this. She said, I'll make you a bet that every year this will be remembered. This will be on television. This will be talked about. She said, but the 34 guys you served with that got killed, says they won't let y'all get anywhere near something like this. And that's a fact. That goes back to your control media.
Yes, and in terms of the relative long-term significance of the two stories, without in any way being cruel to the family members of the victims, without in any way suggesting that this was anything less than a horrific crime of mass murder, I would say tactfully and carefully that the story of what happened to the USS Liberty in the long historical run of things is a far more important story, because it fundamentally deals with the question of the composition of our government and our government's policies, the way in which our media does business, and the way in which I would argue that the Israeli lobby is the fundamental driving force behind an American policy in the Middle East that I frankly think is headed south with great speed, and frankly which threatens the entire survivability of the American Republic in regard to the military, political, and economic disaster that it represents. Put in that context, I think that the USS Liberty situation over the long haul should be seen as the far more significant story in regard to its implications.
Well, I agree with that observation, Mark. And I wouldn't, I don't bring this up, and I'm certainly not making light of it or trying to say, hey, our deal was more horrendous and more egregious, because they were both horrible events, but they will be covered in a different light by our media and our control media.
Question.
I don't think that is totally right. You know, granted, we were in uniform, we were military people, but our ship was a non-combatant. We were guys out there doing a job.
And we were presumably attacked by a quote-unquote ally. The facts of that have been covered up by our own government. We'll be back with Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS special agent criminal investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that website at ussliberty.org and take a particular look at the title on the front page of that website, the main page at the top, entitled War Crimes Committed Against U.S. Military Personnel, June the 8th, 1967. That report has been filed with the Secretary of the Army as of June of 2005, and presumably the Secretary of the Army has done his job in formally forwarding that report, we hope, to the Secretary of State. By the way, I have an interesting note from a listener this morning, just as a diversion, temporary diversion from our conversation with Gary about the Liberty. In relation to this Korean killer of these 32 tragic victims up at Virginia Tech, there is a most interesting note that has been sent to me based on an ABC News piece on the murderer entitled Killer's Note, quote, "You caused me to do this." there is the listener sends me one or two sentences from that lengthy article. The killer's older sister, Sun Kyung, this is ABC News talking here, graduated from Princeton in 2004. A source who asked to be identified as a senior administration official said she works for McNeil Technologies, a firm contracted by the State Department to manage reconstruction efforts in Iraq. And then the listener sends me a question. Was the killer a Manchurian candidate? Well, folks, that's kind of an interesting observation and idea coming from one of the listeners to the show today. I don't presume to know the truth about that, but it is quite kind of fascinating, isn't it, that this comes along at a most convenient time in the renewal of the calls for gun control in this country, which, if enacted in conjunction with Internet regulation and in conjunction with what we've already seen of the USA Patriot Acts 1 and 2, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, and all of the NSA warrantless surveillance that's been taking place with American citizens, it paints a most terrifying, terrifying picture of the vision that the globalists have for a new world order. So keep the listener's remark in mind in coming days. Was the killer a Manchurian candidate? And it's curious that his older sister works for McNeil Technologies, a firm contracted by the State Department to manage reconstruction efforts in Iraq. And that, of course, comes to us from ABC News. Gary, back to our conversation here. When it comes to this whole business of the Moore Commission's findings, certainly this comes as a result of a most comprehensive review on the part of the commission of all of the events that surrounded June the 8th, 1967. As I've already mentioned, the report indicates that the Moore Commission underscores that there were 8 hours of aerial surveillance that were undertaken by Israel before it launched this two-hour air and naval attack against the Liberty. Point number two that the commission discusses is that, among other things, these Israeli aircraft who were involved in these airstrikes were unmarked. Do you attach any significance to that?
Well, yeah, so we wouldn't, if any, there was any eyewitnesses by some miraculous event, you know, we couldn't ID them if we did get radio communications reestablished, which there was one transmitter pole that had been off air, so the heat-seeking missiles hadn't taken it out. That they did run, as Dave Lewis refers to, long wire to it, some of the ETs, and we were able to get an SOS out. So that would be significant, even if we were able to get the message out, but we couldn't ID who was attacking us. You bring that up, and I want to add something I find of interest, and this is from talking to the other crewman that told me this. It was topside during the attack. He was the individual that fired the one round that we fired at those sorry SOBs. you know, after the aerial attack ended, there was a short lull in there of some minutes before the MTBs and motor torpedo boats overtook us. And we were trying to flee the area. We were trying to get away. We had had three different flags flew on the ship that day. Well, some of Crystal's stories and some of the Israeli story as well, the ship was engulfed in smoke, and it was early on. But by the time the MTBs got to us, most of your topside fires had been put out. a lot of the burning debris had been put over the side, and that's from testimony from crewmen or conversations I've had with crewmen that did these things. There's no way that you couldn't have identified that vehicle. There's no way that the MTBs couldn't see that that wasn't an American flag. They mentioned the fact that, well, they weren't flying a flag. It was furled at the mast, and these kind of BS stories. From the waterline to the top of the main mast that flag flew from was 125 feet, which would have been above any smoke or anything because we were fleeing the area. When they say the flag was furled and it was not flying, I have to add the fact, if you look at pictures taken up from the USS America on the morning of June 9th, when the 6th Fleet met with us, you will see that the U.S. flag and two pennants are fully extended, and we're sitting dead in the water right then.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer: a health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that website at ussliberty.org and pay particular attention today to what's at the top of that page: War Crimes Committed Against U.S. Military Personnel, June the 8th, 1967. This is an incredible document, including the findings of the Moore Commission. And in regard to those findings, vis-a-vis the disinformation report put out by Jewish U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Jay Kristol in his piece entitled The Liberty Incident, the Moore report says, and I'm quoting, that there is compelling evidence that Israel's attack was a deliberate attempt to destroy an American ship and kill her entire crew. Evidence of such intent is supported by statements from Secretary of State Dean Rusk, Under Secretary of State George Ball, former CIA Director Richard Helms, former NSA Directors Lieutenant General William Odom, Admiral Bobby Ray Inman, Former NSA Deputy Directors Oliver Kirby and Major General John Morrison of the United States Air Force, and former Ambassador Dwight Porter, the U.S. Ambassador to Lebanon in 1967. Folks, these are heavyweight sources who are coming forth to basically provide the information in conjunction with the eyewitnesses to the attack that, taken in tandem, have caused the war, caused the Moore Commission to say that there was compelling evidence that Israel's attack was deliberate. We need to underscore that this morning. Gary, getting back. Oh, go ahead.
I want to bring something up that's not been mentioned, just out of curiosity.
Absolutely.
In the video, Dead in the Water, you will note in that video there is what's supposed to be a CIA agent named James Jesus Angleton.
Yes.
There is a memorial plaque and garden for him in the state of Israel. This guy was a double agent. He was a Mossad agent, also working for the CIA. He was working both sides of the street. But from all that we've been able to gather, his allegiances were not to America, but to Israel. Why would they have such a memorial for this agent if what I'm saying is not the truth? And I might add, I've got to add another line and verse under this. CIA director back at the time, William Colby, when Colby found this out, Colby had him brought back to Washington. And this is from as good a source as there is out there. Colby put him in an 8-by-8-foot office, did not give him a telephone. And I was informed that he didn't give him so much as a fountain pen to write with. And he advised him, he said, this is where you'll stay 8 hours a day every day and you will do nothing. He did that for 3 months, and he finally resigned or retired from the agency. I'm not sure which, whether he retired or resigned. 2 weeks later, William Colby died a very mysterious death.
April of 1996, as I recall, under circumstances that just on a prima facie basis are extremely suspicious, to say the least.
Well, there were things to his death that just didn't look right. Now, I've often wondered what was Angleton's, what was his play in all of this. I don't know. And I do know one thing with absolute certainty. I just don't know exactly, totally, what it is. Our government has got something here that is so horrible, they don't want the American people to know about it. Because I think if the American people, if they were given the truth, I think rank and file 85% of the American people would stand up and say, hey, no, this is not good. We're going to change this. Something has got to be done. What is it that our government is hiding that is so bad involving the Liberty incident, the attack on our ship, and why have they controlled everything for 40 years?
Well, this, go ahead.
We currently, right now, as we're speaking, we have two crewmen in Washington, D.C. this morning doing a program. We're attacking this from every angle that we can, trying to get the truth to the American people. As one of my fellow shipmates said, and I probably won't say it correctly, but he said, you know, we supported and served our country for y'all, the American people. It's your turn now to support us. And be it writing a letter to a congressman or a senator, trying to put pressure on somebody, in whatever way you can act, I would ask the listeners to do that. What's happened, what's going on, it's got to be exposed. It's got to stop.
Yes, because it continues to go on. It continues to go on in terms of the influence of the Israeli lobby. Let me just say a couple of things. If the listeners have trouble grasping what Gary has just shared with us about James Jesus Angleton being a probable Mossad double agent, I would urge them to buy the Carolyn Graff. This is the American version of this book put out by Carolyn Graff Publishers, written by Gordon Thomas of the United Kingdom. Gordon Thomas is considered to be probably the leading expert in the world on the Israeli Mossad. And in Gordon's book, Robert Maxwell, Israel's super spy, Thomas basically proves to my satisfaction that the Israelis murdered Robert Maxwell, this British media mogul, who in fact had been serving as a Mossad agent. But in that book, there is a discussion of James Jesus Angleton, and there is a picture in Gordon Thomas's book, which corroborates exactly what Gary is talking about here, which shows this plaque to Angleton, which was created by the Israeli government and the Israeli intelligence community, virtually making him a canonized saint of the Zionist state of Israel. That should be absolutely suggestive in terms of who one of the major players may have been in the USS Liberty cover-up. And as Gary has already suggested, this William Colby death in April of 1996, I believe not to have been an accidental death by drowning. I believe that Dr. Colby was murdered. And I think there are a series of things that we don't have time to discuss this morning on this show that would explain why I believe that. But suffice it to say that as people search for explanations, diabolical explanations in regard to what may have happened to William Colby, certainly the James Jesus Angleton story and its possible connection to the Colby situation cannot be ignored. It may be that there are other things that Mr. Colby knew that may have related to both Israel and Iran that might be behind his mysterious disappearance that night in a canoeing accident that took place when he was in his pajamas and at the age of 75 had been battling the flu. And he had a phone conversation with his wife that night indicating that he wasn't feeling well and was going to retire to bed. Then he's later found dead in this drowning accident, having been involved in a canoeing situation in High Rapids on the Patuxent River in Maryland. Very, very suspicious stuff. Gary, we get into some other things related to this as well. The larger context of the attack on your ship. I have a theory, which probably Peter Hunan may do a lot better, I know would do a lot better job of supporting. I'm trying to find him. He has written the book Operation Cyanide.
I have somebody working on that for you right now. I made a phone call yesterday. Unfortunately, I do not have contact information, but I have someone that does. I am working on that.
That's great, because Mark Glenn of the American Free Press would like that information, too, because he's really digging into this USS Liberty story for the American Free Press, and I know that he wants to talk to Hunan as well as I, so I really appreciate your efforts in that regard. My own personal take on this USS Liberty cover-up is twofold. I don't think the American government wants the American public to figure out the extent to which Israel and the Israeli lobby control the policies of our government. I think that's part of the reason for the cover-up. The other thing that has been suggested to me, and this is why the Peter Hunan angle on this in terms of Operation Cyanide may become absolutely pivotal, is that several folks have mentioned to me the very strong possibility that Israel's attack on the Liberty was designed to be a false flag incident that would then provoke the United States into attacking Egypt. In other words, that if the Arabs could be pinned with the responsibility for the Liberty disaster, had the Liberty sunk, had all the crew members been killed, and had Israel been successful in conjunction with some of their agents in our own government in attaching responsibility for this atrocity to Egypt, then presumably the United States would have attacked Egypt. And that may be part of a larger plot.
You know, there are crewmen from the Liberty that I've spoken with, crewmen off the America I've spoken with, that, you know, back when all this happened, the America launched nuclear weapons. Now, were these weapons launched in a lose it or use it situation where they gotten off the ship in the event they were needed? Or was there an operation in place to take out the whole of Cairo? We have crewmen from our ship that were told that this is what nearly happened. It came within 3 minutes of it. And that's one reason that Johnson and McNamara were screaming, get all the planes back on the ship. Now, the nuclear-armed planes could not re-land on the carrier. They were diverted, I think, and landed on Crete. Now, I could be wrong where they landed, but I know they landed at an airstrip. They did not re-land on the carriers. because of the danger involved in such. I also know that 15 minutes, I'm going to say 15, 10 to 15 minutes, let me put that kind of time range on it, a pilot off the America that I'm acquainted with and numerous conversations I've had with him, he's somebody I'd like to have you interview if he'll come on air with you, if you're interested in him.
Absolutely.
Said that, and I have a number of crewmen that would also like to, had mentioned to me that the Sixth Fleet at all times was surveilled by the Soviets. And he called them a Komar, was a type of ship. I'm not sure exactly what that is. It had to be a small boat, though. And he said, you know, they were basically a pain. They would get within the fleet and follow them and what have you. He said June 8, 1967, about 10 to 15 minutes prior to their general quarters alarm sounding on the America, he said, and this Komar never left. He was always with them. He said this Komar kicked up rooster tails. He took off and said they watched him as he went out over the horizon. And they thought, well, that was real strange, and they wondered what was going on. The Russians already knew that we were under attack. They knew what was going on. You know, I have no doubt about that from other things that I've been told. And then the America goes to general quarters, and they go to launching planes, only to have them recalled. There's a whole lot more to this story, and there are blanks and pieces in there that I absolutely cannot fill out. That, you know, I have to wonder about what was really going on. Did we come close to dropping a nuclear weapon? I do know they were launched. I do know it was said that we came within 3 minutes of it. I've been told that by crewmen that were told that when they were medevaced over to the Little Rock, which was the flagship of the Sixth Fleet. I do know that there was the use of the hotline between Johnson and Kosygin. I know the Russians had a sub, T-172, was sitting in the Gulf of Sidra with 8 nuclear weapons, and the commander of that ship was told if the Americans enter the war there in Syria, if we landed Marines there, he would be given orders to launch. It was his job to take out the whole of Israel. I mean, what exactly was all going on? I know that Kosygin supposedly told Johnson, if you want a war, I'll give you one. It was common knowledge back then in the Navy that there was a ton of Soviet subs in the Atlantic. They watched us as we watched them. I think we came very close to a nuclear exchange because of one little small country in the Middle East that we ought not even be looking at, associating with, or fooling with, because our meddling over there, we have got a very failed Middle East policy. If you think we don't, look at Afghanistan, look at Iraq, look if we had the troops, bullets, and what have you, and the bombs, hell, we'd be in Iran and Syria right now. You know, we've got to change direction. We've gone down this wrong path for 40 years, and it's bore nothing but bitter fruit.
And the path that destroyed the British Empire.
You know, it's frightening. I want to make kind of a little observation, a comfortable observation of something. You've got Iraq. We all know that we went in there on bogus intelligence. We should have never been there. But we won't leave. We've got an idiot that's keeping us there. And idiot's a kind word, and by the way, I think. Their culture is about 3,000 years old, about 12 times older than ours, and it would seem like if democracy was going to flourish in that part of the world, it would have done it in that 3,000 years at some point in time or the other, and it has not. We're not going to change the way these people look, see, and act. And let's look at Vietnam for an example. You know, the official thing is we were there for 11 years. Well, we in reality were there way before that. We were there in the late 50s. With thousands of advisors. But Vietnam, we had over 59,000 men killed, over 300,000 men wounded in action. The cost of that war was hundreds of billions of dollars. Did we change anything by being in Vietnam other than killing a bunch of Americans? we said we were fighting communism. Now I say, well, they say we done beat that. So we got rid of that ism, so now we got terrorism. We've got us another ism. Are we going to fight it for another 40 or 50 years? I think the American people better demand that our politicians, our elected officials, by whatever means, you know, hey, we're tired of being led down this primrose path to destruction.
Yes. Don in Ohio, you're on the line for Gary Brummett. Go ahead, Don.
Mark, how are you today?
Good, sir.
I'd like to make a comment on your guest's astute observation of what's going on, but I'd like to take it a step further and present the theory or the premise that we are actually witnessing communism at work. In other words, the Cold War was a facade. Now, if you look at the fact that James Angleton was actually one of the most trusted agents of President Kennedy.
Don, stay on the line. Sure. I want you to continue with this when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we return, Don in Ohio will have some observations for Gary Brummett. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. The state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Back. This is Mark. Mark Dan Cost America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that website at ussliberty.org. And we have a caller, Don from Ohio. You were talking about James Jesus Angleton. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, he was Kennedy's most trusted agent, much like Leo Wanta was Reagan's most trusted agent. And he also had ties to the Vatican. Now, this all points to the Vatican. The Vatican is interested in rebuilding the Temple of Solomon with the authority, with their authority. And as a result, Israel's participation in all these events is always based on the Vatican's long-range goal to take over the Temple Mount. Now, in terms of William Colby, Mark, your comment, I could associate his death to his aiding of John DeCamp in his investigation of the Franklin cover-up. In fact, the means of the Franklin cover-up would have exposed many in Congress, many in the Senate, and the administration, and the pedophilia that was going on. So this was something, the blackmail behind that case could expose everything that was going on in terms of corruption. And, you know, there were some details about Colby's death, that he was eating a meal. He was very meticulous, and he left the dinner table in the middle of a meal, something he wouldn't do. So there were many anomalies behind his death. John DeCamp spoke about that, and they knew that he was advising John DeCamp about the Franklin cover-up. These are all interconnected things. Now, we're of the belief that communism is dead. As of the Cold War, that was orchestrated, that's part of the plot, and we're witnessing this now in our justice system. We're witnessing fascism and communism both at work together, and this is all part of the global plan. Any comment?
You want a comment from me or from Gary?
Either or both.
Mark, I'm gonna let you comment on that, if you will.
Sure. You know, I don't think there's any question, Don. I have heard of John DeCamp, and I've seen a little bit on the Franklin Report. I'm not currently up to speed on it, but I think certainly the death of William Colby, I think, has very, very ominous implications. I think the whole connection of James Jesus Angleton to nefarious forces plays a role in a number of things, including the USS Liberty story.
Yeah.
And I think certainly at a bare minimum, that when we examine what is happening with our entrance into the various institutions of the New World Order, that whether one puts this in the context of fascism or communism, the fact of the matter is that individual rights of every conceivable description are in the process of being destroyed at the hands of a central state. Now, we used to think of that central state in terms of a Leviathan federal government, vis-a-vis the states in an American constitutional context, and I think that that's still a factor. But to me, the most compelling and frightening story today is the whole movement toward globalism. The United Nations, the World Bank, GATT, the World Trade Organization, and the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for North American Union, all of which point to the fundamental transition of the United States of America away from being a sovereign state toward being governed by an entirely new and demonic entity. I want to thank Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association for being with us today. You can find that website at usslibertycom. And I think as you go to that website, you'll want to focus upon the transfer. Call your congressman in regard to that war crime report and demand some action. This is Mark Gant.
It's true.